We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Coronavirus interrupting the sports calendar. If things had gone off as planned, if we were still living in a coronavirus-free world, we would be less than 24 hours away from the Pirates opener in Tampa against the Rays. I had a trip all planned, set to go down there and watch that game in the beautiful Tropicana Dome. But now we're living in different times. And we're trying to adapt, evolve in these times. We're going to have classic Pirates games starting tomorrow on The Fan. And it starts with one of the best games, if not the best game of all time. Definitely for Pirates fans it is. Game 7 of the 1960 World Series. Now, it's been a tradition in Oakland every fall at the exact start of Game 7 on the anniversary of the game, they play the radio broadcast of the 1960 World Series. Now, I've never been down there for the game because usually I'm on the air. We're joined right now by Pirates play-by-play man Greg Brown. Greg, have you been down there for the replaying of the 1960 World Series Game 7? What's that like?
You know what, Andrew, I went there for the first time this past off-season, October 13th, which happens to be one of my brother's birthdays. He was in town, and we just happened to be in the area walking around, one of his kids and I and he, and realized that that was going on. So we joined them, and it was a blast. I mean, those Pirate faithful, it's serious business for them, and it's really cool, of course, when Mazeroski hits the home run. The reaction, it was a really good crowd. I don't have any idea what the number was of people there, but they're certainly in tune. They're having fun. They bring picnic tables. They bring beverages and snacks and so on. And it was a really neat experience. I'm glad I went. I don't think it'll be the last time I go.
Brownie, I think that Mazeroski home run gets disrespected in the annals of baseball history, and I'll say it for this reason. Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world. Yeah, it won the pennant. It didn't win the World Series. And the Giants were rampantly stealing signs in that game. And I think that gets more play as like a famous home run than Mazeroski's. So I'm here putting it on the record right now. It's the only walk-off in Game 7 of the World Series ever. And I think this home run, as famous as it is in this town, still gets a little short shrift nationally.
Well, I agree 100%, Chris. And
that's a first. Holy cow,
well,
we
no,
are.
No, that's not true. No, that's
cats
not true.
And dogs living together. This is insane.
It's usually you and I, Andrew, that are arguing, I think, as I recall. It's been so long since we've had a chat. But, Chris, I will say that I think what gets lost in all of it is the dynamics of that World Series. Keep in mind, the Pirates had not been in a World Series since 1927. And they had been swept by the Yankees. They hadn't won a World Series since 1925, prior to that 1960. The Yankees, it was a birthright for them at that time to go to the series. They had won it most recently in 58, which was their sixth title of the decade of the 50s. It's unbelievable. And so they were prohibitive favorites. The games they won by a combined score of 38-3 in those three wins. So, again, it was a foregone conclusion in most people's minds that the Yankees were going to win that thing. And, of course, then Hal Smith hits the home run in the eighth inning to give the Pirates the lead. The Yankees come back to tie it in the ninth, and then the home run. I will say, too, by the way, I think it's really cool what 93.7 The Fan is doing, starting with that game you guys mentioned tomorrow. And it was what's really neat about this broadcast tomorrow that we will all hear. I'm anxious to hear it. It's a very rare recording because it's a recreation of a game. It was done by Bob Prince and Jim Woods. Jim Woods, the possum, was Bob Prince's longtime broadcast mate in the Pirates booth. Prince, of course, the voice of the Pirates. Prince did broadcast in 1960, Game 7. He was on the TV side, NBC television, along with Mel Allen, who was the voice of the Yankees. Mm. And back then, they split that game up. So Prince did the first half, and then Allen did the second half. And there was very little byplay between the two on the telecast. Pretty straightforward. But as the game approached the end, Prince is told to get down to the clubhouse after Hal Smith had homered and interview Hal Smith and the winning Pirates, as he was as excited as all get out, being the voice of the Pirates. So he gets in the elevator and heads down. And just as he arrives, he's told by someone else there, get back up there because the Yankees have tied it. This could go extra innings. He gets back up, and it's back and forth. And then he hears the crowd go crazy. He doesn't know what's going on, but someone says, get back down, get into the Pirate clubhouse.
Wow.
He gets into the Pirate clubhouse, and of course, it's mayhem. Now, this is Prince telling the story, and of course, I, over the years, have wondered, he embellished a whole heck of a lot, which was one of the great things about Prince, but he stood by this story until his death, that he got into that clubhouse unaware of what had happened. So he gets in there, and an NBC broadcast assistant basically shoves Mazeroski right next to Prince. All Prince knows is the Pirates have won. And he basically says, well, Maz, how's it feel to be a member of the world champions? And Mazeroski says, great. And Prince, not knowing what else to do, just says, congratulations. And he kind of pushes him away, and they bring on another guy. And so he's going through this whole thing. He says that he was not aware of the whole situation until he was at dinner with his wife, Betty Prince, later that night, some restaurant celebrating, and apparently he goes and he's ordering the dinner with his wife, and the waiter comes over and says, what would you like to drink? And anybody that knows Prince, of course, he was going to have a drink or two, a toddy. Then he probably said, you know, I'll take a screwdriver. And as the waiter starts to go leave, Betty, his wife, says, by the way, what a great ending, you know, Mazeroski hitting that home run. And Prince yells to the waiter, make it a fifth. He wanted the whole bottle. So that again, that's what Prince did. He stood by it. So anyway, that's the backstory to say that Prince never had a real good opportunity to do the whole game. So in 1981, there was a work stoppage in baseball right in the middle of summer. You know, you think things are rough now for baseball fans. I mean, it was nearly 2 months worth of games we lost. And so Prince and Jim Woods in 1981 went into a sound studio, and they used some the technology of the day and sound effects and so on. And they did an unbelievable job of recreating this game. You would never know that this wasn't actually live, Game 7 of the World Series. And so Prince and Mazeroski and Jim Woods get a chance at a redo because – Maz was living in Greensburg in 1981, and they made the phone call to Maz and basically said, hey, listen, we really never have had a chance to interview you properly. So Maz gets caught up in this broadcast that you'll hear tomorrow at the end, and it sounds like he's in the clubhouse, and he's all pumped up, and a man of few words actually expounds upon his thoughts after winning that World Series. So that's the backdrop to what is really going to be a very unique broadcast tomorrow.
And it airs tomorrow at 1 o'clock here on 93.7 The Fan. It's the first installment of many classic games. Greg, I would hazard a guess here that the number one game for you all time, the ones that you've broadcasted, you've called as Pirates play-by-play guy, would be the wild card game in 2013. So my question is, what would be your second favorite game all time that you've done?
You know, I'm asked this all the time, and I know you guys have been as well, about your favorite moments in sports. And for me as a broadcaster, and of course the great comeback, the greatest comeback in the history of the National Football League, when I was doing Bills games, when they were down to the Oilers 38-3 at halftime, come back to win it behind Frank Reich stands out certainly as the most most unbelievable moment that I've really ever witnessed in sports, to see them come back like that. But, you know, I grew up a Pirates fan, as you guys probably know, and I love the stories of guys that make it to the big leagues when they weren't necessarily expected to make it. And John Wehner, a Carrick native, also grew up a Pirates fanatic. So he and I were going really through the minor leagues together. Mm-hmm. He trying to reach his dream of being a major league player. I trying to reach my dream of being a major league broadcaster. Both of us hoping to broadcast me to the Pirates. He played for the Pirates, and sure enough, he does. He ends up spending about 10 years of a career as a utility-type player. Didn't play a ton, but was an outstanding defensive guy. Could play just about everywhere on the diamond. And the last game of the 2000 season, the last game ever at Three River Stadium, was against the Chicago Cubs. And there had to be 57,000. I don't know what the attendance was, but it was jammed. Three Rivers was absolutely jammed. It was electric that night. All the memories, realizing that they're moving into a new ballpark the following year. And October 1st, 2000, and I go down to the clubhouse, and I take a look at, on the wall, Gene Lamont's lineup, and I see John Wehner's name in that lineup. And I thought, how cool is this? Because Wehner didn't start a lot, but here Lamont, with the game, the Pirates game, meaningless at that point. The Cubs also didn't mean anything to them. It was a nice, classy move by Lamont to allow a Pirate native to play in that game. And I went over to John. I sat at his locker stall and talked about how cool that was. And he kind of chuckled, yeah, you know, his self-defacing humor. Yeah, they're even joking that I should hit a home run. Well, John Wehner hit a total of four home runs in his major league career, a total of four home runs. And I went up to the press room, press dining, and I sat with Bob Walk, who, of course, was a former teammate of John's, and I told him the story. So I'm down there, and they're giving him grief about hitting a home run, but how cool is it that he's playing in the game, and yeah. So now I'm on the telecast with Steve Blass, and they brought Nellie King back, the former Pirate broadcaster. He and Prince were a team for many years. And Steve Blass and Nellie King throughout the night were just kind of reminiscing about the great days of the 70s and those great games. And about the seventh inning, two outs, two on, Pirates down two runs. Here comes Wehner. And Wehner hits this home run off John Lieber, another former Pirate, by the way. And as that ball is leaving the bat, I tell this so true. I've heard players and athletes talk about how it's slow motion for them, where you can just see everything so clearly and time almost stands still. For me, I stood up and I watched as that ball left that bat, and I thought, and as I'm calling the game, I'm thinking, there is no way this ball is going to leave the yard. John Wehner hitting a home run to give the Pirates the lead in the bottom of the seventh inning, last game ever at Three River Stadium. Sure enough, he did. It was a home run. He was walking on air himself. Just the place, it was bedlam. And as soon as that inning ended, I turn around, and who had run up from the third level to the fourth level, from the radio booth to the TV booth, but Bob Walk. And I throw my headsets off, and I jumped into his arms, and we were in the back of the TV booth at Three River Stadium. It was like Blass jumping into Bob Robertson's arms. I was Blass, and Bob was Robertson. That was my favorite moment as a Pirate broadcaster. To take nothing away, by the way, from that wild card game, I will say. It was spectacular. But my favorite single moment was that home run that John Wehner hit, because of how meaningful it was. But the wild card game itself was probably absolutely my favorite game as a Pirate broadcaster.
Greg Brown.
I've got nothing to add. That was flawless. It was a note. I will say this about that Wehner home run. It was an absolute, for a guy that only hit four, it was a no-doubt bomb that he hit.
It's funny, guys.
It got way out of there.
Yeah, and I would never want to suggest it, but I've always wondered, if I ever run into John Lieber, is it possible he knew the moment and gave John that opportunity? I don't know. I mean, not to take nothing away from John, but I've often wondered to this day about that. It was just so cool, so timely. And at any time I introduce John at a function, he's embarrassed by it. But I do. Oftentimes it chokes me up, and it chokes him up. because, again, of how meaningful it was to him and to all of us who watched him grow up in the organization. And then, of course, he also wants to inform me and anybody else that's unaware, he also made the last out in the history of Three River Stadium. You know, he hit the last home run, but he also made the last out.
Now,
he had a chance to win the game because there was a runner at second base. Pirates are down a run, two men on, two outs, and he grounded out to end the ball game. So he admits that.
No, that's because Scott Sauerbeck didn't do his job an inning earlier, but we won't go into
that. That's right.
All right. Hey, Greg, we had a breakthrough today between you and Mueller, so we're excited to continue to have you on the air once Pirates season gets underway, or we'll just have you on periodically during the Classic game period. Go ahead.
Hey, Mulsey, are you considering this a breakthrough, Mulsey? Just your thoughts?
Oh, a breakthrough? My goodness, we've created a whole new paradigm here. I think we can gang up on Filippone now from now on.
Oh, I'd love to be on every week for that.
All right, Greg, we've actually run out of time here. I don't have anything more I'm allowed to say. See ya.
Goodbye.
See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.